If you think about digital marketing, like a decade ago, it was really a lot like standing on this quiet dock with a single fishing line.
Oh, yeah, very peaceful.
Right. You cast your bait into one specific pond and you watch your one little bobber and you just wait. It was highly controlled, very linear.
Absolutely. You knew exactly where everything was.
Exactly.
Right.
But today, in 2026, you are not fishing in a quiet pond. User attention is just violently fragmented.
He's everywhere.
Right. I mean, a potential customer is bouncing from like a generic search query to a YouTube short to a display ad on some cooking blog. Then they're scrolling through the Discover feed on their phone, checking Gmail, and looking up directions on maps.
All in the span of an hour?
Seriously. And trying to manually manage separate ad campaigns for every single one of those surfaces is like trying to fish in six different oceans at the exact same time.
Yeah, that's impossible.
It's a relic of the past. So today, for our deep dive, we're looking at the exact blueprint of what replaced it. Whether you are a seasoned marketer prepping for a huge campaign or just someone curious about how modern algorithms work, this deep dive is, well, we really want to give you those aha
It's
moments.
going to be a good one.
Yeah, our focus is a highly detailed source document, Performance Max 2026, the complete Google Ads strategy guide.
Which is incredibly timely, honestly, because the reality that's laid out in this guide is just stark. Over 1 million advertisers are using Performance Max or PMax globally right now.
Over a million.
Over 1 million. And if you are running an online business in 2026 and you aren't utilizing the system, I mean, you are actively leaving serious money on the table.
Wow.
Yeah, the sheer volume of variables in a modern customer journey is just completely beyond human capacity to optimize manually anymore.
So we're essentially talking about this automated AI powerhouse. But before we get into how to harness it without letting it run our ad budgets off a cliff, which I'm very anxious to
The
get to.
scary part, right?
Yeah. Before that, we really need to understand the paradigm shift it represents. Like, what did it actually replace, and why did Google force this transition in the first place?
Well, to trace the timeline back, Performance Max officially absorbed and replaced old automated formats like smart shopping and local campaigns back around 2022.
Okay.
It's a single goal-based campaign type, but the true leap forward, like the main reason Google built this thing, is that it runs across every single Google channel simultaneously from one setup.
Just one.
Just one. Search, YouTube, Display, Gmail, Discover, Maps. It is all fully integrated.
And the contrast with the old way of doing things is almost jarring, really. I mean, think about a traditional search campaign. Search has always been about absolute, precise, manual control.
Right, totally
You
kind
pick
of.
the exact keywords, you set the exact biz down to the penny, you decide exactly where that specific click goes. It's deterministic. You tell the system to jump, and it jumps.
Right, but PMax throws that deterministic model completely out the window. It is entirely probabilistic. You are basically taking the keys, handing them over to Google's AI, and trusting it to read real-time intent signals.
Handing over the keys to a robot.
Basically, the machine decides the best format, the best placement, and the best audience for every single impression.
Okay, let's unpack this with an analogy because I think it helps. Traditional search campaigns are like picking individual stocks. You do the research, you choose exactly what you buy, and you manage the portfolio manually.
Right.
But PMax is like handing your money to an elite algorithmic index fund. You set the ultimate goal, like, hey, I want this much return on my investment, and the algorithmic fund auto balances based on real-time market conditions that you just couldn't possibly track yourself.
That captures the dynamic perfectly, but there is a really crucial caveat here.
What's that?
Well, the index fund doesn't mean you can't still buy a specific stock that you deeply believe in, right? PMax does not make traditional search campaigns obsolete.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they're actually designed to share data and complement each other. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, in digital marketing, PMax is casting the wide intelligent net for discovery across all those different channels.
Right.
And search acts as the spear, capturing that incredibly high intent, exact match traffic. Running the net and the spear together is like the absolute standard architecture for 2026.
The net and the spear. I really like that visual. But since we are essentially handing over the keys to a black box AI to cast this massive net, we really need to know exactly what is happening down in the engine room.
Oh, definitely.
Like, what is this machine actually doing in the milliseconds before an ad appears on your screen.
So the guide breaks this optimization loop down into four distinct continuous stages. Let's ground this in a real-world example so it's not too abstract. Imagine you run a local sporting goods store and you want to sell a new line of running shoes. Stage one is the asset input. This is your job. You provide the raw materials. So images of the shoes, a 15-second video of someone running, your logo, and, you know, a few catchy headlines.
You're just dumping the ingredients into a bowl.
Essentially, yes. Yeah. Just throwing it all in. Then we hit stage two, which is real-time signal reading. This is where the machine takes over.
Okay.
Let's say a user, let's call him David, is online. The AI analyzes David's recent search queries about marathon training, his current location near your store, the fact that he's on a mobile device, and even the time of day.
Wow.
Yeah, it processes millions of these subtle audience intent signals simultaneously, literally in milliseconds.
Which is something no team of human media buyers could ever execute.
Not a chance, not even close. Which leads directly to stage three, dynamic ad assembly.
Putting the ingredients together.
Right. Based on those signals, the system grabs specific ingredients from that bowl you provided. It selects the absolute best combination of your raw assets to build a custom ad that fits exactly what David is looking at in that specific moment.
That's crazy. And here comes the final piece, stage four, which I actually think is the most complex, cross-channel attribution. How does it know what actually worked?
Well, the conversion data flows continuously back into the model to track the full user journey. So let's say David watches your running shoe video on YouTube on Tuesday, but he doesn't buy.
Yeah.
Then on Thursday, he sees a banner ad on a sports blog. Finally, on Saturday, he searches for your store and buys the shoes. The AI learns from that entire path. It doesn't just credit the final search click.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it recognizes the mathematical relationship between the initial YouTube view and the final sale.
Let's pause there, because that is a massive shift. Are you saying the AI actually recognizes that watching the video made the later search click more likely to happen?
Precisely. The system realizes that the YouTube touchpoint laid the psychological groundwork. And because of that, the AI will actually start bidding slightly less on that final search click for similar users.
Because it knows the heavy lifting was already done earlier in the funnel.
Exactly. It automatically adjusts bids across all the channels in real time to lower your overall cost of acquiring a customer.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I kind of have to push back on the magic of this AI.
Sure.
If the algorithm is doing all this heavy lifting, analyzing millions of signals, perfectly attributing touch points, what happens if the ingredients I put in the bowl are just garbage?
Ah, yes.
Like, what if I give it blurry images? Or what if my website's tracking is completely broken? Is the AI just going to ruthlessly optimize toward the completely wrong thing at lightning speed?
This raises a very important question, and the guide is actually brutally explicit about this danger. Stage one, your input quality determines the absolute ceiling of the campaign.
Okay, so you can't trick it.
No. The AI is incredibly powerful, but it is entirely literal. If you feed it weak creatives, or if your conversion tracking is misconfigured to, say, track page views instead of actual sales.
Oh, that would be bad.
Very bad. The system will efficiently and relentlessly optimize toward getting you more meaningless page views.
So the AI is kind of like a bloodhound. It has the best nose in the world. But if you let it sniff the wrong piece of clothing to start out, it's going to ruthlessly hunt down the completely wrong person.
That is the absolute perfect way to look at it. And, you know, the flip side is equally true. When you provide that bloodhound with a pristine, scent-like, really clean data, the algorithm compounds every single conversion it records to make its next prediction even sharper.
Right.
This compounding efficiency is exactly why updates to the PMax system in 2024 alone delivered an automatic 10% plus increase in conversions globally.
10% just from an update?
Yep. But, and this is a big but, that bump was only realized by accounts that had clean data and high-quality inputs.
So clean data is the absolute prerequisite, which brings us perfectly to the actual materials we are feeding to the bloodhound. Since the AI is entirely dependent on the quality of those inputs, let's look at exactly what we have to provide and where those ads actually end up. The source material calls this the chameleon ad.
Yeah, the chameleon ad, it is a vital concept to grasp because there is no single performance max ad format. One campaign looks completely different depending on which of the six surfaces it lands on. It just transforms to match its environment.
Let's run through these six surfaces to really paint a picture of how vast this inventory is. So first, you have search. These are text ads, but unlike traditional search, you don't use keywords here. In 2026, you guide the AI using up to 50 search themes to point it in the right direction.
Right. Much broader.
Yeah. Then you have YouTube. These are video ads playing before or during content. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge warning from the guide here. Uploading a custom video is basically mandatory.
Oh, absolutely mandatory.
Because if you don't, Google auto-generates a slideshow from your still images. And the guide explicitly states those perform terribly.
Yeah, they are awful. So then there is the display network. The system takes your assets and auto-assembles them into visual banners across millions of third-party websites. Next is Discover.
Oh, Discover. Yeah, if you are listening to this on an Android phone right now and you swipe right from your home screen to look at your newsfeed, those native-looking cards you see, that's Discover.
Exactly.
The ads are super sneaky. They look almost exactly like organic content.
Very subtle. And from there, you have Gmail, where the ads sit right at the top of the promotions tab, looking exactly like a regular email until you tap to open them.
Right.
And finally, Maps. This shows promoted pins and top listings when someone is nearby and searching for a category. For that sporting goods store we mentioned earlier, Maps is absolutely vital for driving actual foot traffic.
So to show up seamlessly across all six of these wildly different environments, the 2026 specifications are incredibly strict. Like, you can't just upload one generic picture of a running shoe and hope for the best.
Not even close. You are required to provide a dense variety of assets. You have to upload up to 15 different headlines, 5 descriptions of varying lengths, and you must hit very specific image ratios.
Okay, like what?
You need landscape images at a 1.9:1:1 ratio. You need square images at 1:1.
But, you know, the requirement that really caught my eye in the guide is the 4.5 portrait image, which is 960 by 1200 pixels, alongside the 9.16 vertical video ratio.
Oh, the vertical stuff, very important.
Yeah, it's like packing for a multi-climate vacation. If you're going to the beach, the mountains, and the snow, you have to pack for all three.
Right.
If you forget to pack your heavy winter coat, in this case, your portrait and vertical video assets, you're completely locked out of the winter climates, meaning you just miss out entirely on mobile-heavy surfaces like YouTube Shorts and the Discover feed.
What's fascinating here is that the unseen penalty is severe. Missing a single format doesn't just give you a slightly uglier ad.
No.
No, it literally causes the PMax algorithm to skip those placements entirely. You are creating massive, invisible gaps in your reach.
Wow.
Yeah, if you don't give the AI a vertical asset, it simply will not bid on vertical inventory. You vanish from that entire segment of the internet.
You just disappear from YouTube Shorts completely because you didn't upload a 4.5 image. That is wild.
Completely invisible.
Okay, so let's say we have our suitcase perfectly packed. We have all 15 headlines, the custom video, the portrait images, the square logos. We're totally ready to launch. I'm looking at this 2026 launch protocol in the guide, and I'm honestly sweating.
It is a bit intense.
Yeah, how do we turn this thing on without the AI just setting fire to our entire marketing budget on day one while it tries to learn?
Well, this brings us to the playbook for boundaries, bidding, and patience. The guide lays out a very rigid long sequence. First, you must start with native Google Ads conversion tracking. You cannot rely on importing your goals from Google Analytics 4 or GA4.
Wait, hold on. Why not? GA4 is Google's own analytics platform. Why wouldn't that work?
GA4 processes data a bit differently. It often applies data-driven modeling, and honestly, it can have delays in reporting.
I see.
Native Google Ads tracking provides the rawest, fastest, most immediate pulse of data directly to the bidding algorithm. It is the purest scent for our bloodhound.
Okay, that makes sense. Raw data over modeled data.
Exactly. Second, you group your assets by type product themes. For the sporting goods store, you don't throw running shoes, baseball bats, and yoga mats into one giant campaign.
That would confuse it.
Right. You build a specific asset group just for running shoes. This constraint helps the AI match the right creative to the right user query much faster. But the most critical, and honestly often this uncomfortable step, is the initial bidding strategy.
Here we go.
You must launch the campaign on maximized conversions and let it run for 2 to 4 weeks.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me to launch a campaign, let it run on maximized conversions, and not set a target return on ad spend for an entire month?
Yep.
A target ROAS, meaning like for every $1 I give you, bring me $4 back.
Yep.
You're saying don't set that target at all, just let the machine spend the budget with no guaranteed efficiency? Mm-hmm. That sounds absolutely terrifying.
I know. It feels reckless if you are used to tight manual control. But here's the underlying logic. Adding a target ROAS too early literally stars the system of data.
Oh, because it's too restricted.
Exactly. The AI needs to map the landscape. It needs to see what works. And critically, it needs to see what fails. If you instantly put a tight financial constraint on it, the AI becomes timid. It just won't explore those complex cross-channel pathways we discussed earlier.
So it just gives up.
Pretty much. You must wait until the campaign is consistently hitting a baseline of 30 to 50 conversions per month.
30 to 50 actual sales or leads. That's the magic baseline.
That is the volume threshold. Only then, once the algorithm has enough data to actually recognize patterns, do you introduce your target ROAS.
Okay.
And even then, the guide warns you to keep that target within 20% of your actual historical return. If you demand a completely unrealistic return right out of the gate, the AI will just start bidding altogether.
It'll just flatline.
It will realize it can't find auctions that meet your impossible criteria and your campaign is dead. And remember, making major changes to your budget or your targets before that initial 2 to 4 week learning window finishes will completely reset the algorithm.
Oh, no.
You go right back to day one.
It requires an immense amount of discipline. You have to just sit on your hands and let the machine bump into the walls until it figures out the layout of the room.
It's hard to do.
Right. So if we can't touch the bids for a month, what exactly is our job? What can a marketer actually control in 2026?
Your strategy is entirely about setting the guardrails. You define the boundaries, and the AI operates autonomously within them. You control the ultimate conversion goals. You control the daily budget. You control the geographic location targeting.
Okay.
And a massive non-negotiable one is controlling brand exclusions.
Oh, let's talk about brand exclusions. I was reading a case study recently about a brand that forgot to set this up, and they burned through $10,000 in a week, essentially just buying their own organic traffic.
It happens constantly. It's a huge trap. PMax is designed to find the easiest, cheapest conversions first to build its momentum and lower your acquisition costs.
And the easiest conversion is?
Someone who is already typing your exact company name into Google.
Wow.
Yeah, if you don't explicitly set up brand exclusions, PMax will aggressively bid on your own brand name, take credit for those extremely easy sales, and inflate its own performance numbers. It will completely cannibalize your dedicated search campaigns in the process.
It's the equivalent of a salesperson standing inside your store, waiting for a customer to walk in, holding a coupon with your logo on it, ringing them up, and then demanding a commission.
Yes, exactly.
You have to explicitly tell PMax, no, ignore the people already looking for us. Your job is to go find new people.
Right. You are setting the rules of engagement. Beyond that, you also control the creative rotation. The system grades your assets as best, good, or low. A key strategy is to regularly review and swap out the low-rated assets with fresh creative.
Wait, swap out?
Yes. Notice the verb there. Swap out, never just delete.
Because if you just delete a portrait image, you leave an empty slot in the suitcase and suddenly you vanish from YouTube Shorts again.
Precisely. You must always replace an underperforming asset with a new one of the exact same format.
Got it.
Finally, you control experimentation. You can run PMax experiments to test asset variations with a controlled 50-50 traffic split, isolating what actually drives improvement. But what you cannot control is how your budget is split between the channels.
Right.
You cannot tell the system to spend 60% on YouTube and 40% on search. You cannot control keyword-level bids. You cannot control the exact combinations of images and text the AI chooses to display to David.
So to synthesize all of this, Performance Max is no longer an optional side experiment for a rainy day.
Yeah.
It's the core engine of modern Google Ads. It demands pristine native tracking data.
Pure data.
It requires a fully packed suitcase of creative assets like every image size, every video format. And it demands the patience to just step back and let the algorithmic index fund balance itself for weeks at a time.
The mechanics of buying attention have fundamentally evolved. You are no longer managing bids. You are managing inputs and boundaries.
And for you, listening right now, the relevance of this shift really cannot be overstated. Yes, giving up that granular, manual control to a black box algorithm, scary.
Very scary.
But mastering PMax removes the operational nightmare of managing six separate campaigns. You no longer have to spend your week adjusting keyword bids by a few pennies. It frees up your time and your brain power to focus on higher level strategy.
Which is where you should be.
Exactly. You get to focus on your creative messaging, deeply understanding your actual customer journey, and building better products.
You know, if we look at the trajectory of this technology, it leaves us with a rather profound question to consider.
Oh, what's that?
If Google's AI is now handling all the bidding, right? If it is perfectly splitting the budgets across six channels, and if it is dynamically assembling the ad creatives in real time based on millions of data points, does the future of digital marketing rely entirely on human psychology?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If the machine executes all the math flawlessly, does the human advantage now completely come down to understanding the emotion, the desires, and the irrational behaviors of the buyer?
That is a really fascinating question to leave us on. Something for all of you to think about the next time an ad feels like it's reading your mind. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we warmly invite you back for our next exploration.